Brothers and sisters, as we prepare to hear the word of the Lord today, would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Oh, Holy Father, what we need is for you to open our hearts. What we need is for you to fill our hearts with your word. What we need is what we saw Charlotte put in the little pumpkin. We need your light. We need your light, O Lord, to shine out of us in this evil day in which we're living, when we are surrounded by so much nonsense that takes place in both the life of the church and in this world at large, all around the world. Lord, we need your light to guide us. And oh Lord, how each and every one of us needs a grand measure of your grace. That's what we need, not only for today. Lord, we need it every moment, every second of every day. Lord, none of us knows how long we're going to be here upon the face of this earth. We need to be about the kingdom business. Lord, as I look across the landscape of America today, too many people inside the church and outside the church are about their own business. Lord, we need mercy from heaven to look down upon us today, to forgive us for the multitude of our transgressions and to bring healing to our land. Oh Lord, the church in America has strayed so far from your word. Lord, the government of our day has strayed so far. Lord, all of us who love Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, and who love this great nation that you provided for us, Lord, we all ought to be weeping at what's taken place. Our hearts should be yearning. And while the church should be the light in the world, Father, too often we have failed thee. And as a result of all the nonsense that takes place in the churches across this great land, many souls are left in the dark, and many souls die, and many souls go off to a Christless eternity. Oh Lord, how we need you. We need you today. We need thee every hour. Oh Lord, I pray you would remove the stops from our ears. That you would open the pathway of our minds, that we might see the mote that is in our eye and stop trying to remove the specks out of everything else. Lord, the greatest need is the last words you've said in your word to the church: repent. The great need of this hour all throughout the land, in the church and out of the church, and all throughout every facet of society. The great need is repentance. Our hope is not in a Republican or a Democrat. Our hope is not in a vaccine for a virus. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the blessed hope. He is the greatest need that each and every one of us have. Oh Lord, not only do we need Your mercy and Your grace, we need Your disciplining hand to discipline us, that You might take us to the woodshed, that You might bust our backsides, that we would be humbled, that we would once again seek the face of the Lord our God and turn from our wickedness, that we might find grace and mercy and help in time of need. Lord, many points. Humbled today. The question we've had to think about all this week is the title of the message here this morning. It's a question this nation should be asking. Why do You call me Lord? It's a question this church should be asking. Why do You call me Lord? It's a question every American and every Christian should be asking. Why? Why do You call me Lord? Oh Lord, how we need You. Lord, as I pray for this congregation, I ask and hope that they will pray for me as I preach this morning. And Lord, will You take this message as only You can. And would Your Holy Spirit move in this place such as it has never moved before? Would You bring conviction to those who are lost this morning? They sit among us. They think they're all right. They think they're good enough to go. They don't recognize their need for a Savior. They think their looks will get them home, or their own good works, their own self-righteousness. They need Christ this morning. And Lord, I pray for that individual or individuals who may be in this midst of this congregation or listening to this live stream that right now are outside the body of Christ. They do not hold any hope. They have no blessed hope. Lord, if You were to call them right now, if You were to say to them, enough is enough, it's time for You to come and stand before Me. Lord, we know they'd have no foundation upon which to stand, for they know not Christ. And little do they realize, Father, that hell is a place of utter darkness, a place of sheer holy terror. Father, we pray for those in the church all over this country, those in this church. To repent. To give their all to God. To stop holding back. That we might move forward as a church, that we might live victoriously in Christ Jesus, that we might be about the Father's business. Oh Lord, how we need to repent in this nation today. Lord, I just pray that you would fill our hearts with thy word, so that we can have thy light and the measure of grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, not our own. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's grace. Oh, how we need your grace in America. How we need your grace in this church. How I need your grace in my life. And I pray, oh Lord, I pray that others would cry out from the depths of their soul, pour out your grace on me, oh Lord. Forgive me. Heal me. Lead me. Guide me. Teach me. Be thou the light of my soul, that my heart may speak thy wonderful works. And sing the mighty praises of our King. O Lord, how we need you today. In Jesus' name, for there is no other name by which we can pray. In Jesus' most glorious, wonderful, holy, righteous, just name, do we come and do we offer our prayer this day. Amen and amen. Be finding in your Bibles, if you will, this morning, the 6th chapter of Luke. Luke, the 6th chapter and the 43rd verse. I want to start there this morning. And when you find that place and you find that verse, would you honor your Lord by rising to your feet this morning? If you are able, please stand. The word of our Lord in the 43rd verse of Luke, the 6th chapter. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit. This nation was once a good tree. But the fruit that we are now producing as a nation is corrupt. What about the church? What about me? What about you? Neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit, for every tree is known by his own fruit. Find it very interesting, family and friends, that in this nation we are a nation that is greatly divided, but we are also greatly divided in the church of Jesus Christ in this land today. We're known by our fruit, both in our communities, wherever we travel, in our circle of influence, we bear a fruit. We carry a reputation, for every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, Note the progression. He comes, he hears, and he does. I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth Every man hears one kind of way or another. Some people only hear transitionally. In other words, they just let it go in one ear right out the other. Some people hear transformationally. They allow God to take His Word down to their heart, and they become a doer of the Word of God. But verse 49 talks to us about a man who hears and he does not, and Jesus said, that man is like, he's like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently and immediately fell. And the ruin of that house was great. You may be seated. House of America is standing on the brink. Peter reminded us, 1 Peter 4 and 17, that judgment begins at the house of God, and God ever watches over His church. He ever watches over His people. And Jesus asked a very probing question in this text. And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? The question is a call for each one of us, first and foremost, to do what you've heard me plead with us to do many times from the Scripture when Paul says, examine, examine, examine yourself. Friend, as you examine yourself this morning, Jesus is looking right at you. Jesus is asking you, why do you call me Lord? And do not the things which I say. Hey, someone might be out there already getting the hackles up on the back of their neck, all ready to defend what they do. They're already claiming, well, I do what it says. Do you really? Do you love others as Christ loved you? Have you been transformed by His grace that you are a vessel of grace unto others, always ready to forgive, always ready to extend mercy, always ready to walk a mile in another's shoes? Do you pray for others as Jesus prays for you? Do you seek the good of others as Christ seeks the good for you? Why do you call Him Lord? We print on our money, in God we trust. Do we really? Or is it the money that we trust? We stand and say the pledge, one nation under God. Oh, really? How can we be one nation under God when we've outlawed prayer, outlawed the Ten Commandments, murder innocent babies, and then look up to heaven and say, oh God, bless us in what we do. I want to tell you something. God cannot bless America, and God sure cannot bless the church, because God's people need to get right with God. Jesus standing, speaking to the last church of the church age of which we are living today in the book of Revelation, the church of Laodicea said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Isn't it interesting that Christ should be inside of the church? He should be the glory of the church. And yet in many a church, Christ is not welcome. That's why he's standing outside the church, knocking at the door, asking to come in. Far too often, we look like a hypocrite. We have no concern for others. We claim one thing, and yet the way we speak, the way we act, the testimony we give as a nation, the testimony the church has given for far too long, doesn't tell people their need to repent and get right with God. There is, in the eyes of many, the church has become irrelevant. It's become powerless because we have taken our eyes off of the Lord our God, and there are men and young women, and women, older women, young men, every facet of society, people who need to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they're outside the church because they don't feel welcome inside the church. But even considering if you know someone who's a hypocrite, you might say, well, I know someone like that. That's not really the question, is it? The question is a question that must be asked from the depths of our own heart. My own heart, your own heart. Why do I call him Lord? Do I call him Lord and do not the things which he says? Jesus has asked us for honesty. He's asking us to be honest with ourselves. We know the commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Why is he asking us to be honest with ourselves? Because if we're not willing to be honest with ourselves, he'll never have access to the only place he cares about in each one of us, our heart. He'll never be able to do what he wants to do in our heart because we have chosen not to be honest with God. I want you to know something this morning. Human heart is like a treasury. And everything that we've taken in through the eye gate and through the ear gate, it gets deposited right here. More importantly, just as we go to the bank and we make withdrawals, every withdrawal that comes from us stems from our heart. Every withdrawal of word, it comes out of our heart. Every withdrawal of action, no matter what action it is found right here. This is where it stems from. My daddy was working in a shop one day. working with a bunch of men. I'm certain that most of us are not unfamiliar with the fact that sometimes the language of man is anything but wholesome. The man that was near him cussed up a storm. Then he looked over at my daddy, who was a Christian. And he said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. That wasn't me." And my daddy gave him the truth. He said, "It had to be you, or it couldn't have come out of you. Out of the abundance of the heart, our mouths speak." Oh, listen to me, church. Jesus has said, do we truly grasp it? Do we truly understand it? Out of the abundance of the heart issues every move, every word, every thought you and I make, have, or speak. And so Jesus asked us to be honest with Him. He sees right into you. Now, if I asked us to be honest with ourselves or be honest among one another, very many of us would probably have a hard time doing so. But the Holy Spirit moves among us today. You can be honest with Him. You can have the courage to open up unto Him. You see, He hears every thought you have. He knows every move you make. And He wants you to know that the heart is a treasury. And every word from our lips or act of our mind has its root right here. Well, I think about that. I weep for the things that I've done. And they're tears of joy. Because there's a Savior who loves us so much that He forgives us every sin if we will but humble ourselves that He might lift us up. See, we spend so much time trying to lift ourselves up, puff out our chest, and act like we're something really special when the reality is we should be humble and sober and ever seeking God and thanking God for His marvelous, wonderful grace. The second point Jesus wants us to understand in this question, why do you call me Lord? Now this is Jesus speaking. It's right here in the Bible. So it is not your pastor making accusations. Jesus is saying, why do you call me Lord and do not the things which I say? Family and friends, He's not only asking that of you, He's asking that of this guy right here. And what He's telling us here is, what He's giving us here is an invitation to think. And why is this so important to think? Do you realize it has been conservatively estimated that 75% of America's people today never think? 15% of Americans think they think, but all they're doing is merely rearranging their prejudices. That leaves approximately 10% of the American people who actually think. Can I ask you a question? Well, I'm going anyway. How often do you think about the deep things of God? How often do you think about how it's going to be when you stand before God? That day is coming. It has been appointed unto all of us. There is a time coming when this pastor is going to stand before Almighty God, and I have a heavy burden upon me. I will not only give an account for my own life, I will give an account for all of those whom I have ever pastored, because that's what the Bible teaches. That's a heavy burden. How many of you would agree with me that a lot of people today have put their minds in neutral? They just don't think. They don't think about heaven and hell. They think, I've prayed a prayer to receive Christ. I'm good. Got that knocked off the bucket list. Go out and do what I want. The government will give to me what I need. But I just don't need to think. Sadly, when we stop to think, we don't realize the depth of our sin, no matter how minor it is. Jesus had to die to forgive us of our sin. One little half-truth. One little measure of gospel at any of the coffee things here in the church or in any of the Sunday school classes anywhere. Something I've heard a lot of recently. I didn't know this term existed. Of course, I didn't go to beauty parlors a lot. I just wanted a haircut. But I've heard the term a beauty parlor gossip. Well, that was a new one for me. We don't think. We go off what somebody else says. We take somebody else's word. We don't investigate for ourselves. We don't find out the truth of matters. Many people today no longer even open the Bible. Don't know their way around the Bible. We're not thinking. Many people would rather spend more time on Facebook because that's the gospel to them than they would in God's book. We're not thinking. Certainly you would think among the American Congress and Senate and Supreme Court that there might be a measure of common sense, that God created life. That life begins in God. But somewhere along the line, we as a nation lost common sense. That's why we're living in a world of no sense today. We have people who profess to believe, and yet they do not know what it really means to believe. When you become a Christian, I want you to know something. Life is going to get a whole lot tougher. It's not easy to be a Christian. You are not called to be fat, happy, and sassy. You are going to have times of suffering, times of trial, times of growth. You're going to have to learn how to sacrifice. You're going to have to learn how to give up your will for God's will. You're going to have to learn to love like God loves. You're going to have to learn to forgive like God forgives. You're going to have to grow. And you cannot grow if you do not think. Thus, we have a generation who does not know what it means to believe, that does not know how to possess salvation in Jesus Christ. Thus, Jesus asked the probing question of our hearts, and why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? He's trying to awaken us, friends, that there is more to salvation than a mere nominal expression of faith. He's asking the question in the hopes that he might awaken the church out of its lethargy, of its neutrality of mind, to think, to be honest with ourselves. And again, why must we be honest with ourselves? Because one day, yourself is going to be front and center before Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And he's going to ask you for an account of your life. What did you do with my word which I gave to you? And you're going to be without excuse if you spend no time in God's word. If all you do is come to this church and stand when I read from Scripture, but you don't have a Bible, you never open a Bible, you don't care about the Bible, but you came to church. You haven't done anything with God's word. How are you going to give a good account in that day and in that hour? How are you going to give a good account if you say you have salvation, yet you refuse to live like Christ? How? Some of us, all of us, certainly are going to have some holes. But some people won't have a leg to stand on, no foundation whatsoever, because they're going to be standing there bringing before God any good work that they possibly could have done. They're going to be asking God for a fair trial because they never really took the time to think about the fact that Jesus died on the cross for their sin and they could receive a free pardon and their works wouldn't have to be brought up. All the bad works we've all done. Every one of us has done something awful. Isn't that right? Say amen. You know I'm right. Aren't you glad you got a Savior who buries them and he burns them things up and he buries them in his vault of forgetfulness, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. But I'm telling you today, if there's one person in this church who has not received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you're going to stand there in your works and you are going to be judged and your works will not measure up. Oh, how you need salvation today. Don't gamble. You've heard me say this many times before. Don't say, oh, preacher, I heard you. That was a good sermon. Don't walk out this door saying, appreciate it, brother, and all those other kind of niceties. Don't want to hear it. Because if you walk out that door today and you are not saved, you're gambling with your life. You may not get another opportunity to repent and be saved. Just think how tragic that would be. To be in a service like this, to walk out without having been honest with yourself, without receiving the grace of God that is freely given unto you, and you go out and perish, and you go off to a Christless eternity. You want to know the most hollow words that are ever going to be said in hell? If only I'd have listened to that preacher. If only I'd have listened to my grandparent. If only I'd have listened to my parent. If only. But it's too late. You're in hell for eternity. One day, yourself. Say that with me. Myself. Is going to give an account to God What have you done with his word? What did you do with his so great salvation that is offered to all men freely? How did you live in relation to all that God has given you? And how would God want you to live? We have his word, 2 Corinthians 5:15, and that he died for all, that they which live should no longer henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. How sad it is that in far too many pews across America, people know that. They just don't think about it because they are so focused upon themselves. Their want, their way, their desires. They refuse to admit the blind spots in their lives, the obstacles that blur their vision, that we are to be about our Father's business, not our own business. They refuse to address the areas that must be confronted and repented of in their own hearts if we ever have hope of living in the true power of the Holy Spirit. We must repent. John said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many of us need a cleansing today? The call, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say, is a call from God to you to not put your mind in neutral, but to think. To think about, why do you call him Lord? Picture something with me this morning. The time has come. Your sojourn here on this earth is over. God has called you. You're now standing before him. And he looks you right in the eye and says, why did you call me Lord? How are you going to answer it? What are you going to say? There's a third point Jesus wants us to understand. It's another point we don't think about much, but all of us are builders. Therefore, we must be careful to build wisely. We're commanded to build our life on the rock. What does that mean, build your life on the rock? Have you ever thought about it? What does it mean? It means to simply obey what God commands you and I to obey in his word. Can I ask you a question? Did Jesus strive to always obey his Father's will? Did he ever say, well, you know, it's optional. God, I know what you said, but Dad, I just don't want to obey that one. No. Whatever his Father commanded, the Son obeyed. Knowing that he strove to always do it and he never once fell short, what makes so many people today believe that obedience to God's word and God's commands is optional? That's true, isn't it? Many people today believe, well, you know, God said that, but that don't apply to me. After all, that book's old. The Bible's not up with the times. We need to change it. And yet every word of God is true, and every man is a liar, and obedience is not optional, it's imperative. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Is asked to wake us up to the fact that obedience is not optional. If we are to call him Lord, obedience is vital. And we can't do it on our own. That's why Jesus said, when I go, I will send a helper, the Holy Spirit, to guide you, to lift you, to strengthen you, to enable you to do what I ask. Because none of us can obey God in our own strength. Is it any wonder that we fail so often? We're trying to do it on our own. We haven't thought about how God would have us live. We know the verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not upon your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him. We just don't live it. To build upon the rock means we must think about the witness of our word and our works. Certainly we're going to fail from time to time. God understands that. That's why He said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But what he means when we build our life upon a rock is that there should be a consistent witness of our words and our works to the glory of God. To build on the sand means just to give what a lot of people give today. Just mere lip service. Why do we give mere lip service? Because that's easy. That's easy to give lip service, isn't it? It's easy to say, oh, I love you. And not really mean it, because love is an action. We just don't follow up with the actions. We want to look good, want to smell good, want to act good. But too many people today just give mere lip service to it. Well, this one's going to hurt. But I hope it makes you think. I've had to think about it all week long because I can't preach to you unless God preaches to me. Here's this question. Do you obey God's word? That's all encompassing, isn't it? Do I love like God loves? Do I forgive like God forgives? Am I merciful like Christ is merciful? I say I have God's grace, then that ought to make me graceful. If I'm grace-filled, I ought to be graceful. Is that how I'm living? Do I obey God's word? Friend, do you obey God's word? Why do you call Him Lord? And then there's a final thing, and we're through. It's found in verses 47 to 49 of our text. I'll trust you to read that on your own later. I told you it's not easy to be a Christian. Because out there in this world, there's storms that come. Here's what the storms reveal. And Jesus is not speaking or referring here to the last judgment. We know that time is coming. No, He's speaking to the storms, the test of life that come into the life of every single Christian. They come into the life of every single church, no matter the denomination. They've come into the life of this nation for a long, long time. And He wants us to know this is where the rubber meets the road. When it comes to the question, and why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? First, we need to remember that not everybody who professes to know the Lord has had a real experience of salvation. Say, how can you say such a thing? I'll tell you how I can say it. Jesus said in the church, you're going to have wheat and tares. The wheat are the genuine believers and the tares are the false professors.
How many people do you know who have been active in church at one time, or maybe even active right now, but they've not been saved through repentance and faith? They just don't have any foundation to their lives. They run around in the energy of their own strength. Many churches today are busy accomplishing absolutely nothing for the kingdom because they're running around in the energy of their flesh. What do you think is going on in Washington, D.C.? Congress has been running around in the energy of its flesh for the last 4 years and nothing has gotten accomplished. Millions upon millions upon millions of our tax dollars have been wasted because of nonsense. And that's the only nice way I can put it. This church has a history. It has a reputation. How much nonsense goes on in this place instead of His sense doing kingdom work, reaching the lost for Christ, helping people grow to know what it means to be a Christian, what it know how to help them use their gift and help them give glory to God. How many people do you know personally who were once active in church, but then a storm came, a test of faith came into their lives, and when that came into their lives, instead of glorifying the Lord, they walked away? Their house, their faith, their testimony, their very lives have collapsed into bondage to sin because all they were doing was giving mere lip service to Jesus Christ. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Is to awaken us to the realization that mere profession is not possession. Friend, do you possess Jesus Christ? Are you living like Him? Are you giving glory to Him on a consistent basis in your walk with God? And it is a walk. And we've got His Spirit to guide us and to help us. As a nation, since 1963, we've done everything we can as a nation to tell God we do not need you in America. Is it any wonder we are in such a mess? This church, which should be giving glory to God, and every pew should be filled, and we should have places running over. Well, we've all got to ask ourselves the question, are we about our own business, or are we about the Father's business? Why is it that the church isn't filled? Don't blame somebody else. You look in your own heart. Are you giving glory to God? Are you loving others like Jesus loves you? Are you as graceful to others as Jesus has been to you? See, the storms reveal. We have an enemy as a church. His name is Satan. He'll do anything he can to destroy you, to destroy this church, and he's doing a heck of a job in this nation today. And yet many people are even fail to realize because they just don't think that you have an enemy. But God wants you to know that if you've built your foundation on the rock that is Jesus Christ, by doing what Jesus says, by living as Jesus says, by obeying what Jesus says, you are now rooted in Him and you are grounded in Him, and because He is at work in you, you will be built up in Him. Whenever a nation, whenever a church, or whenever a Christian is not growing and things of the kingdom life are not happening, we have to ask ourselves some very important questions. Are we really rooted in Jesus Christ? Are we really grounded in His Word? Are we really being built up in Him? And if we're not being built up in Him, the problem isn't Him, the problem is us. We are the issue. We are the problem. But if we are truly rooted and grounded and being built up in Him, the fruit of our lives will be good, and our faith, our house, will withstand any storm that comes, because Jesus Christ is the victory that overcomes this world. He is the church's one foundation. He is our all in all. And if we're truly rooted and grounded in being built up in Christ, the steady witness of our lives, of our nation, and most especially of our church, will point to Jesus Christ and not to anything else. We need to understand something. If you're lost here today, God's already told you all about it. And I just want you to know, you cannot live the life of faith if you don't possess it. You may be here today and you say, well, you know, I gave my heart to Jesus and I was baptized. I'm on the church membership roll. Well, are you living like you're saved? Don't be pointing back to some past time when you got saved. You ought to be more saved today than you were when you first met Jesus. It is about getting saved, but it's not about being gotten saved. It's about living for Jesus. And so maybe you are a church member here. But all it was just mere profession. You didn't really mean it. Kind of came forward because maybe your parents expected you to. I don't know. One day, you're going to stand before Him. Whether you're lost or whether you're saved. He's going to say, look right at you. He's going to look right at me. Never been more convinced about this than I am this week in my life. And He's going to say, why do you call me Lord? Except then it's over. Because now we're being judged. And He's going to look at us and He's going to say, why did you call me Lord? And did not the things I say. May God have mercy on us all. Father, we thank You for Your word unto us today. May You have mercy upon us. May we be honest before You today that Your will and Your way would be done. For those who are lost and are amongst us today, Lord, may they come to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Lord, thank You for what You've done for us. And now it's up to us to receive it, to believe it, and to act upon it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Brother Marty, you come and lead us in song. I know whom I have believed. God has spoken to your heart today. The altar is open. Let's stand and let's sing.